So everybody, how's everybody doing this morning?
Good.
Good? All right. Okay. Well, as usual, the Lord is busy at trying to direct me into what we need to do this morning. Okay. Go to 2 Timothy, first chapter, 1 through 5. Okay. It says, Paul, as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Okay, now, I've got something to follow up on that from today's Daily Bread. Just want to read a short paragraph, which I think is definitely helpful because this is on faith. We are trying to walk our faith out, aren't we, in situations we're in. And I know we're struggling. The Lord knows that. So he brought that to the forefront this morning. He told me we need to deal with that. Okay, he says, this is from the paragraph reading. We may think our lives haven't been positive enough to be a good example for others. Maybe the legacy passed down to us wasn't a good one. But it's never too late to build a legacy of faith into our children, grandchildren, or any child's life. Through God's help, we plant seeds of faith. He's the one who makes faith grow. Amen? Amen to that. Praise God. Okay. Just before I get started here, we're going to have a short prayer here, but the idea is God's telling you. He says, faith comes by hearing through the word. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Faith the size of mustard seed will move your mountains or your mountain. And how do you think it's up to him if he wants you to go right through it. I don't think we're going to go around it. He wants you to deal with those things and knowing that he will not forsake you. And you've got to trust him and believe in that too. And the faith the size of a mustard seed, they said, would move that mountain. But anyway, let's go to prayer. So my dear Lord, we're just thanking, praise you for who you are this morning. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your guidance throughout each and every day. May we come to you on a daily basis to seek you out. What do you have for us this day? Help us look in the mirror in that day, whether today, tomorrow, whatever day it is. Say that it starts with me, Lord. What do I need to do? Do I need to clean my act up here first before we start? Maybe is sin blocking my work for you, Lord? That is how I know you're a forgiving God, you're a loving God. You would forgive. And the thing is, too, Father God, as you talk of faith, help us remember as parents or grandparents and our grandchildren, because of what the world has done and made our children busy as anything, two people working in a family to take care, and you got children with you, that we as grandparents might be the only teachers of our children, grandchildren, because they're busy. Now you say, well, that busyness, they do what they can when they come home, you know. You pray together, hoping a son and his wife pray together. The children are involved in that if they're in bed. And all the times, you know, it's busy days and people work late. Or at least praying for their children if they're in bed. But that in itself is what God wants. He wants us to be as the family of God. We need to be in that case. And we see that a lot. It's nothing different. We see a lot of that. So as parents and grandparents, don't stop praying. Our children are going to leave the nest someday, which they have as they get older. They go to the farthest parts of the earth, wherever. Could be in this country, could be outside. And pastors, I remember hearing from a pastor on radio one time, all you can do is pray. Well, that's enough. That can be enough, definitely. You can't do much more if you're on one side of the country versus the other. can't always fly out to them. You could if you have that type of money and the time, but that type of thing is, he makes it easy. Say, Tom, you can at least pray for that type of thing, okay? And you know how things come up. They bother them just like we did. And they learned. They were trained up. Most of them were growing up. Now they're out and beyond. So what things come back and you hear from that daughter or that son or in-laws that it calls you to pray, then do that. Do it unto Christ. And we're anointed, we're filled. We have all the things we need. So help me, Lord, not come up with an excuse, but to just automatically pray. And as we set up in the prayer warriors here in Grace Christian Fellowship, and now we have on our emails constant prayer that comes out. We need prayer. Continue and do those things. You are a miracle God. You do those things. We ask and you receive. Remember, ask not, receive not. So we have to be about the Father's business in that area. So we lift all these things up in your precious name this morning. Amen. Amen.
And I want to now I'm going to wait just a minute on that. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. And I'm going to read from verse 5, chapter 3, verse 5 to 14. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And a scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all the books, in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, as for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Father, I thank you for your word. Yes. Lord Jesus, I ask that you will sharpen your word to us this morning, that you will open up the eyes of our understanding, that you will open up the heart of our faith to you. Father, your word tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And I pray that this word will spark faith in every one of us that's under the listening of this message today, both here and online. And I praise you for that, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Church, just bless the Lord this morning. We bless you, Lord Jesus. We bless the name of Jesus, that name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to the glory of the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. We proclaim your Lordship this place, in this place today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Are you aware of the fact that God does miracles?
Yes.
Who here has been touched by the Spirit of God? Who here has received miracle from the Lord? The scripture here starts out with what we're starting in with today in verse 5. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now remember, this last letter to the Galatian church by Paul was a rebuke for them straying away from the truth and going into heresy. It started out in chapter 1, verse 6. He says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. You're saying, I'm shocked that you are turning away so soon from the very word of faith and the word of life that you've received. Why are you turning back? Why are you turning away? Do you realize Paul is saying throughout this letter, he's saying that it's not the works of the law, but it is by the hearing of faith. And he says here, he says in verse 5, he says, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? You can almost hear Paul pleading with the Galatian church. If you look at verse 3 and 4 before that, he said, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Why are you drifting away? Therefore, he says, therefore, he who supplies, who's he? God, who supplies the Spirit of God to you and works miracles among you. Does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? It's a question he gave them. It's a question he gives you and me. Does God work works of miracles by faith or by the works of the law? You all raised your hand, many of you raised your hand, that you have experienced the miracle of the Lord. Raise your hand again if you have experienced the miracle of the Lord in some way, some fashion. We have a miracle sitting here amongst us today. Look to the left and look to the right. You're looking at a miracle. Every single one of us are a miracle. We have a particular miracle that's here with us today. Jamie, I hope you don't mind me capitalizing on your presence here. Jamie Stevens sitting in the back and his wife Tracy. Jamie was diagnosed, 2 years ago? Three years ago with Alzheimer's, dementia. Now, according to that diagnosis, at this point in time, he shouldn't even really know who he is. But we've been praying and we've been trusting God. He and his wife and family have been faithful watching online here every week. They've been faithful even in their giving to the church through the church website. They're faithful people. And again, it says here, Paul says, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by a hearing of faith? Jamie's not here because of the works of the law. He's here because of the faith that he has in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He should not know who he is. He should not be able to be here. He hasn't been here for 2 years because he couldn't handle crowds. And yet he walked through the doors here this today, and he's sitting here. And I'm capitalizing on this. Why? Because Jesus Christ is Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. Even the doctors are saying they don't understand. We don't understand either, except we know that God sits on the throne.
That's right.
And this man and his wife are sitting here right now. And I proclaim that they will be able to every week from this point forward. Yeah. That his mind, see, one of the things I've been praying with Jamie is that he has, I don't care what they say, he's got Alzheimer's or dementia or whatever it is. That man's got the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
And the mind of Christ will wipe away the works of the enemy. That's what we stand on. That's what we're believing. And he's testimony to that today. Tracy, God bless you, because you have just been steadfast. This woman's been steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, trusting in God for her husband, for her family. And I say right now, to those who want to see or are drifting towards being able to be good in the eyes of God because of the things you do. Listen to me. You cannot be good in the eyes of God because of the things you do. Because God has got, if that's what you're going to look at, then God says, okay, then I'm going to look at all of what you've done.
Yeah.
Now, Travis, there are probably a few things you just do not talk about. And I'm not picking on you because I got a few myself. Although I'm pretty transparent. I've told a lot of you through the years some of the horrendous things that I have done. And yet, you know, they don't count against me unless I want to go by the works of the law. Because if I'm going to go by the works of the law, then that means that I have to go by the entire works of the law, not just the few that I can handle. But I've got to look at it all. And quite frankly, I cannot. Maybe you can, but I cannot fulfill the law.
No.
In fact, the law, according to the scripture, is the tutor. It teaches me what sin is. Basically, the law shows me where I am so wicked and fall short of God's glory. And that's why I need Jesus. Oh my God, I need Jesus. I am so thankful that you sent your son to us. We celebrate, this is Christmas time, we celebrate the coming of our Savior as born as this little tiny baby in a feeding trough in a barn or a cave or whatever it was. It's unclear what it was. In fact, the Greek word that is used there for is translated in that barn is actually means a guest room. Can you imagine that, a barn being a guest room? But you see, the tradition says that every house in Israel, every Jewish family, they had their house, but then they had a room that was set aside for a guest room. In fact, when Jesus ate the Passover, he sent his disciples in to the town, and they found this guy and asked, "Can we use your guest room so that the Lord can eat of the Passover?" And it gave him that guest room. Well, it says that in Bethlehem, that particular time period, because of the census that was going on, every guest room was already filled. Even all the rooms in the inn were filled. But God had his own guest room already planned. To us, it was pretty degrading for the King of Glory to be born in a barn. And when his very first bed was a manger. Oh, it sounds so pretty. A manger. It was a feeding trough. It's where the cows and the horses and the donkeys, the owner would put the feed and the hay and the straw in this feeding trough. They go, have you ever watched? I had horses when I grew up. You ever watch a horse eat? I mean, you put the feed bag on the horse, and the horse goes, you can hear, and you pull it away, and it's all the slobber, and everything's all over there. And it is gross, except for a horse owner. It wasn't gross. but you think about what the feeding trough was, and then our Lord and our Savior born, it was late in that. Now, I'm sure that Joseph cleaned it. I don't think he just laid more hay in it and said, okay, drop the kid. No, I think he cleaned it out as thoroughly as possible. But the point is that this was a feeding trough, that the King of Glory's first bed was laid in that. And why did he come? Why did Jesus Christ come? He came because you and I could not fulfill the law. The very law that God gave Moses to give the people. When God gave it to Moses, God knew that the people were not going to be able to fulfill it. He knew that. And yet he gave it. Why? He gave it so that we would know the difference between right and wrong. We would know the difference between righteous living and sinful living. And it demonstrates to everyone that we cannot live a righteous life. Therefore, who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you listening to the to the heartbeat of God this morning? Are you stretching in your faith to reach out to Him? Are you stretching out your faith to receive His forgiveness? Just as Abraham believed God, do you believe God this morning?
Yes.
I'm not asking if you believe in God, because even the demons believe and they shudder. That's what the scripture says.
Right.
Even the demons believe. So I'm asking you, I'm not asking if you believe in God, I'm asking, do you believe God?
Yes.
It's a big difference. Believing in God is saying, yes, I believe that He's there somewhere. But He exists, and He's real. But the one who believes God takes His word and ingrains it in his heart that not the external law, but the internal ownership of His righteousness. You know, that's what receiving Jesus Christ is all about. It's taking ownership of His righteousness. It now belongs to me. Why? Because I, this guy, with all of the stupid stuff that I've done in my life, and that's not BC days, and that's not before being pastor days, it's being a pastor. I've done stupid stuff when I was a pastor. If you don't believe me, ask Kathy. She can't tell you because she's not here. Please pray for her. All right, she's got a wicked one of those sinus headaches and nauseousness comes along with it, and yet she's stretching in faith that there's going to be a time she's going to be healed from those.
That's right. Amen.
Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness.
Yes.
You see, Abraham believed God. And God said, because you believe me, you not just believe in me, but you believe me, that is accounted to you as righteousness. I want us to take a look at Abraham this morning. Go with me to Genesis chapter 15. In Genesis chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram. This was Abram before God called him Abraham. In a vision, the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." But Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus, who was a slave of Abram's? Or servant." Then Abram said, "Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir.' Then he brought him outside and said, 'Look now toward heaven, and count the stars if you're able to number them.' And he said to him, 'So shall your descendants be.' And he believed the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness." See, what the Lord spoke to him, Abram believed. Didn't question. Didn't know how it was going to happen, but didn't question it. Now fast forward, please, to chapter 22. In chapter 22, from chapter 15 to chapter 22, we now have Isaac, his son. And I don't want to get in the whole issue of what transpired between those two and the two sons that he had, but we're going to talk about Isaac right now. Isaac was the son of promise. And God told Abraham, at this point his name is Abraham, He said, "I want you to take your son, your one and only son, the one that I promised you, the one that was going to be a part of the inheritance that you will have of so many children, it'll be as the sand of the sea, of the stars in the sky. I want you to take him and I want you to sacrifice him to me.
Say what?
Yes, I want you to take him up on a mountain that I show you. I want you to arrange the wood. And I want you to sacrifice him to me. In essence, what he was saying is, I gave you your son, but he's also mine. I want you to give him back. I just imagine Abraham got real still, real quiet. And I'm sure, because he was a man like anybody else, any other man, that there was a wrestling match going on inside of him. You ever have one of those when God calls you to something and there's a wrestling match that goes on inside of you? I've had those. I've pulled hair out because of them. It gives you an idea of how many I've had. But Abraham, verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." Here's words of faith.
That's faith. Amen.
We will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and took fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." And then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" See, Isaac, this isn't new to him. But this time is coming, and we've got no lamb. And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son. Now his son was approximately 14, 15, 16 years old. At this point, Abraham is like 100. Now you got a 16-year-old strapping young man, and you get this old 100-year-old man, father. You grab him, "Come on, son, you're coming with me. I'm going to bound you up with ropes, and I'm going to lay you on that altar because you're the sacrifice." Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm 16 years old, my old father was doing that. No, you're not. Which gives an idea of the faith of Isaac. He did not fight it. How many times we miss the blessing of God because we fight God? Because we just don't agree with him. Or we think it's too hard. It's not right. It's not nice. You're a nice guy. You're supposed to do nice things. "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." Verse 10, and Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." So he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay a hand on that lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." God stopped him. Because God knew that Abraham was going to be 100% obedient, even in the face of losing his one and only son. What's that say? That says to Abraham, nothing is more important than God the Father. Nothing. I pray God never bring me to a place of testing like that. But this is why Paul is saying to the Galatian church, I want you to see the faith of Abraham. You're looking in your life in this momentary thing. You're not looking at the big picture. You're looking at today. And you don't feel like you've really done enough to earn that salvation today. So you're going to take Jesus and you're going to thank him for the work of the cross and you're going to praise him for that. Then you add to it. But if I do this and if I do that, I'll be even more pleasing to God. Listen to me. You can never be more pleasing to God than you are standing in Christ, period. Jesus Christ is the only way. And the Galatian church kept drifting away. Why? Because they were allowing ones to come in to bring a false doctrine to them, telling them, yes, it is by Jesus, but it's not Jesus alone. See, you, if you're a Gentile, you have to become a Jew in order to be a Christian. That's the pathway from Gentile to Jew to Christian. But Jesus said, the Jew is not the only way. I'm the only way. From a Gentile to Christ. There's no in between. There's no law that says that you have to do this and this and this in order to be good enough for Jesus to die on the cross for you. Because Jesus died on the cross for you because you're not good enough for God. But God loves you so much, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus did not say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That so you had a target to go through Judaism in order to get to him so that you can be saved. There's nothing in between you and Jesus. There is nothing in between you and him. Nothing stands between you and Jesus. God made that clear and made that possible. The only thing that prevents anyone from coming to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is the person himself. Jesus sends nobody to hell. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. For the God so loved the world, he loves everybody, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. It's open to everyone. You see, Jesus doesn't send anybody to hell. God doesn't send anybody to hell. If you don't have Jesus in your heart, you're already headed that way. What Jesus is doing is interceding for you. And he's standing in the way so that you can come to him. But if you choose not to come to Jesus, you have chosen to go for eternity in hell. And nobody likes to hear, no congregation likes to hear preaching about hell. But let me tell you something. It is just as real as heaven. And it is filled with people who many unintentionally end up there. Why? Because they think they're good enough. I don't know how many times I've asked people when I'm talking to them out on the street or in the supermarket or Walmart or whatever, and I ask them, you know, if you were to die today, do you know whether you go to heaven or not? It's uncanny how this happens.
I'm a good Christian.
Oh, no, they don't even say I'm a good Christian. They don't even say that. You would say that, oh, I'm a good Christian, because you understand. But see, they usually say, well, I think I'm a good enough person. I said, really? What's so good about you? Some people look at me like, what? Nobody's ever asked me that question before. I said, but see, I love you enough, and I never even met you, but I love you enough to ask you this question. What do you consider good enough? Really, what do you consider is good enough? Well, I've raised a couple of good kids, and I actually had this one person. I've only been divorced twice, and let me tell you right now: number one, divorce is not the cardinal sin. So we'll set that right aside right now. I'm faithful in my job, and I don't steal. And I just look and I said, let me ask you a question. Let me ask a guy this. When a really knockout, beautiful girl comes walking by, do you look at her going, whew, or do you go, oh, God really created a beautiful being? And if a guy's really honest, he'll say, well, you know. I said, so you lusted after her. See, that's a sin. Have you ever lied? Oh, well, you know, a little white lie. No, there's no such thing as a white lie.
Like a good witch, bad witch.
I've heard that one too.
The point I'm making is that people think they can be good enough for God. When you cannot be. I don't care how goody two-shoes you are. There is something back there that you don't want anybody else to know about, but you need to understand God knows everything about you. He knows exactly what the sin is, and I don't care what the sin is. Listen, if I was to take, I wish I had thought of this earlier. If I was to go into the bathroom right now, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go into the bathroom. I'm going to leave this on, okay? Thank you very much, okay? I'll be right back, all right? So I'm coming out here. I'm not going to the ladies' room. I'm going into the men's room, all right? I'm going to close the door. All right, now I'm standing in front of the urinal. Can you hear that? I'm flushing the urinal. All right, now, okay, one more time just to make sure the water is really clean. Okay, now it's really clean. Now I'm going to just take the cap of this water bottle. I'm going to dip it in the water in the urinal, and I'm going to pour it into this bottle. Okay, now. Now I'm coming back in. All right. Huh?
We didn't hear you wash your hands.
Now, I flushed that urinal twice. You heard me, right? Two times I flushed it.
No, that's...
And it looked clean when I flushed it. So I flushed it twice, and I took this cap, and I dipped it in the water, and I poured it into this bottle. Now, this was pure water that was in there. Now, it looks pure, nice and clean. Right? Travis, I picked on you before. I'm going to pick on you again. Would you like a drink? You're good, right? You're good. Can I give you an offer you a drink? No. You'll pass. Okay. Why? Why? Look, I'm speaking today, not you, okay? That is not faith. That's presumption.
No, that's faith. No,
that's presumption because I did do it. I don't. I'm not letting you drink it because I did do it. This is the point, though. As pure as you think your life is, there's something that defiles it. There's something in your past that defiles it. It may not be a big thing. But see, to God, there's no big and little. Sin is sin, and one sin defiles it all. This bottle is defiled because I did put urinal water in it. Jim, I'm sorry if I offended you.
I do every week.
Well, I have another one up there.
No, I'm giving you this because you can be forgetful sometimes.
I know.
And I don't want you to drink that.
Oh, I may be a bit forgetful, but I'm not stupid. All right, look. Simple examination of your heart will always produce unrighteousness. Always. If you're going to be honest with yourself. You have to have the faith of Abraham to understand that your life is out of your control. Abraham understood his life was out of his control, but it was in the control of God. And God provided on that day up on that mountain, when Abraham was ready to throw that knife down into Isaac, God stopped him. And then provided a lamb. I'm going to read verse 13. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. It's out on this mountain, out in the middle of nowhere, right next to where he's about to sacrifice the son, and he turns around and there's a ram in the thicket. His horns are caught in the thicket. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it for a burnt offering instead of a son. See, that ram represents Jesus. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." Jehovah Jireh, our provider. And I want you to drop down to verse 16. Verse 15, then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you." Listen to this. Blessing I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. Then God said, in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Not all the Jewish, but all the nations of the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed the voice of the Lord. Now we go back to Galatians. Verse 6, just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Not those of the Jewish faith, but those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. Do you want the blessings of God? Do you want the blessings of Abraham? Then we open our hearts and we let Jesus be Lord. Listen, please, there are many people that have received Jesus Christ as Savior, have received Him as Savior, but have yet to make Him Lord of their life. What does Lordship mean? Lordship means He calls the shots. Lordship means I'm His servant. He's the master. Whatever, Lord, whatever you want, you just say it. I'm in it. That's what the faith of Abraham was.
Yes.
Lord, you want me to sacrifice my son? I'll sacrifice my son. As hard as it will be, as much as heart-ripping and gut-wrenching as it will be, if that is your will, I will perform. I will do it. I will walk in that righteousness. I'm going to trust you with everything about me. I'm going to trust you with my life. I'm going to trust you with my family. I'm going to trust you with my sons. I'm going to trust you with my daughters. I'm going to trust you with that wife that just won't straighten out. I'll trust you for that husband that won't straighten out. I will trust you, Lord, in that boss that I work for that just drives me crazy. Lord, and I'm going to be a man of God before him, and I'm praying, Lord, that somehow my representation of you to him will bring him to you. Because I know that he comes to you and receives you as Lord and Savior, he's going to mellow out. Lord, I'm willing to give you everything. Everything. I'm willing to give you the hard stuff. I'm giving you, Lord, Alzheimer's. Not just Alzheimer's, but frontal lobe Alzheimer's, the worst. I'm giving it to you. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. In other words, every single thing in the law, if you're going to live by the law, you have to perform every one, every single one, every jot, every tittle. You cannot put aside anything. And you need to understand you will not be able to fulfill all of it. That's why he said here, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things. Because of that one or two or three or five or 10 or 20 or 50 that you can't do, you're cursed. But verse 13, Christ has redeemed us, hallelujah, from the curse of the law. Having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, I want to read one more time that blessing in Genesis 22. Verse 15 says, then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing, you have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing. Listen to this. Blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply you. Your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Because you have obeyed my voice. And the voice of the Lord cries out, I have choose to be Lord in your life. Will you let me be Lord in your life? See, Abraham chose to be obedient to that. And I wrote a little note down in my Bible on the margin. Our obedience to God will affect countless generations. That's what God said, in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you, Abraham, obeyed my voice. Because you obeyed my voice, generations are going to be blessed. And God says the same thing. He's no respecter of persons. You know that? He's no respecter of persons. What he has said to Abraham, he'll say to each one of us, you obey his voice. You walk in the integrity of the Lord, and you will bless generations if God is to tarry in coming again.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah for that. I don't know how it's going to happen.
But it will.
But it will. I don't know how. This is the one you gave me, right, Frank? I don't know how it's going to happen. But yet I look back and I see how it's been happening in my life. You know, I keep records of this ministry. And this ministry, since we started it in 1997, some of you weren't born yet. Jeez. We have put almost 300 people through that baptismal tank. Almost 300 people. I don't know how many babies I've dedicated. I have no idea how many people we at Grace Christian Fellowship have prayed for once to receive Christ as Lord. God hasn't given me a full quiver full of children. In fact, Kathy and I only have 2 children that we know of, and we lost both of them in womb. Almost lost Kathy in one of them. So we had to go out and adopt 2 children. So a quiver full traditionally is 7. In a way, I'm kind of glad. 7 kids. But he's given me so many more spiritual children. I am a blessed man. Not because of me, but because of the one I serve. And I'm so glad there was that day that he made himself real to me. And I said, yes, Lord. I had no idea what that meant. I had no idea where he was going to take me. And to this day, I still have no idea what holds the future for me. But I do know who holds the future. And I know that whatever is there in the future for me, God will be there to help me walk through it. He will be there to help you walk through it. If you have received Jesus Christ as Lord, please, I hope you hear that today. God doesn't want to be just your Savior. He wants to be your Lord.
That's right.
He wants to be the one that you're so close to Him. Not just because of prayer and listening, but because of your understanding of His Word.
Exactly.
Listen to me. If you don't have a deep understanding of His Word, you'll miss His voice.
Yes, that's right. You will.
Because the angel of this world, who is Satan, disguises himself. And he's real good at it. In disguising himself as God. And so many people think they're hearing God when they're listening to the enemy, because they don't have a deep understanding of the Word, because the enemy will always violate the Word of God. God will never violate His Word. That's why it's so important to know this. Something like that.
No. I'm playing a tune, Pastor.
Know His Word. Know Him as Lord, not just as Savior, but as Lord. So let's pray. Oh God, our God. I am just, Lord, I'm hearing, I believe, your voice right now. Your heart is crying out for those that have received you as Savior, but have yet to really make you Lord of their life. And I pray, Father, that this message cut deep in those hearts that have yet to make you Lord. Cut in a way to not damage, but to bring conviction and bring hope. Thank you, Jesus. And if you're so inclined, you can pray along with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I have received you as Savior, but I have yet to make you Lord of my life. I repent right now of being Lord of my life. I turn it over to you right now, and I pray that you teach me your lordship, that you show me the importance of your lordship, because you're not just Savior, but you are Lord. I ask you now, be Lord of my life, all aspects of my life. Even as I pray right now, reveal that area you want to take over that I have yet to give. Right now, give me that discernment. And as that comes to mind, I give it to you. Right now, I confess it and I turn from it. In Jesus' name. And Lord, for those, if you have not prayed, if you have not received Jesus Christ as Lord, you can pray along with me on this. Dear Lord Jesus, I need you. I can't save myself. I need you. I give you my life. And I receive you right now as my Lord and Savior. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you prayed that prayer to receive Christ as Lord, are you willing to raise your hand? We all say hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. We have a Bible for you. Oh, you already got one. All right. Praise God. We love giving Bibles away. Yeah, yeah. Did you pray seriously about giving God full lordship of your life? If you did, raise your hand. All right. Praise God. We're going to close with a song. When you raise your hand, God is going to take you at your word. God is going to take you at your word. And if you try to renege on it, he has a way of making your life miserable to draw you back to himself. Doesn't do it just to spite you. He does it to woo you back to him. Amen? Let's stand. Close with a blessing and then a song. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and then he give you peace. A peace that surpasses all understanding. All understanding. The peace that surpasses your understanding. It will guard your heart and mind through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.